Thank you, Janie. Good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you. So good to gather and worship this morning. It's a beautiful day to worship the Lord our God, and we are glad that you have joined us, whether here in the sanctuary or whether at home. We continue to worship in this hybrid format, and we are so thankful to be able to do so. Welcome to you if you are a guest here today. We are glad that you have joined us to worship our God together here at Fellowship Christian Reformed Church in Toronto. Our call to worship today comes from Psalm 36. How precious is your steadfast love, O God! All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. Will you please rise in body or spirit, whether you're here or at home, and let's sing together this great hymn, Love Divine.
Who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior.
Psalm 42, verse 8, says, "During the day the Lord sends his love to me. During the night I sing about him. I say a prayer to the God who gives me life."
My life was in his hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. No matter where I go, he sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He hears me when I call.
Now is the time to do that, to call on God, to trust God's love, and confess to Him when our words, desires, and actions don't always line up with His heart for our best life. Let's pray.
God, we say along with King David, you always show us the path of life. You will fill us with joy when we are with you. Gracious and loving God, we also know that we do not always live as we ought. We turn away from you and from our neighbor. We know we dim your light within us with our pride, our self-righteousness, and our lukewarmness. Turn us around, Lord, as we make our confession in silence to you now. We know that you love us, that you do not abandon us, and that again and again you call us back to you, back to love, back to grace, back to your best life for us. Forgive us, we pray, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Our God calls us to obedience and love, but he is also the one who forgives us, because his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Thanks be to God.
Please do turn in your Bibles to Colossians, the third chapter. Today is the fourth and final of our looks at Jesus Christ in the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. And with this, I hope that this look at Jesus Christ gets us more prepared for Advent. Let's read together. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever is in you that is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish each other with all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear God, it is our humble desire that we could do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to you through Jesus. We know we fail. But Lord, this passage calls us higher, so high as we could imagine. And so as we open your word, help us to imagine with you how we might so live. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a beautiful passage by Paul, and it's been really deep theology so far in the book of Colossians. And here he continues the theology, but he makes it practical. Paul always does that. He never gives us theology for the sake of theology. He always wants us to tell us how to live. How to live. Somewhere in my Christian journey, I came to the conclusion that if the gospel's not about life, then it's not about anything at all. Now that may seem to you like a really obvious statement. The gospel is about life. But what do I mean? So I had seen over my lifetime Christianity practiced in many ways. Often it's been about rules. Christians don't smoke or drink or dance or play cards or whatever it was. For others, it's about rituals. I was raised with a lot of rituals, religious rituals. Went to church a minimum of 3 times a week, plus all the other religious things that we did throughout the week. Or perhaps it was just about me personally, my personal walk, my salvation. My sins were forgiven. I was going to heaven, so maybe that's what was important. But two things that Jesus said really bothered me. Really bothered me. The first was, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You search the scripture, thinking that in them you will find life. It's they that bear witness to me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." Now, I was raised searching the scriptures. By the time I was a young man, I knew a lot about the Bible. I had a lot of head knowledge about the scriptures. But did I know that life that Jesus was really referring to? Was it just knowing the Bible? Because that didn't seem to be life. And then there's Jesus' famous words, "I have come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly." And I had been a Christian as long as I could remember, but I couldn't answer the question, what is that abundant life that Jesus is offering here? Was it just keeping rules or rituals? Well, today's passage in Colossians 3 is about life. Your life in Christ. My life in Christ, our collective life in Christ as a church. Back in chapter 1, verse 27, Paul had a truly magnificent phrase. He says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Is that not a beautiful gem to take with you? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you are a Christian, Christ is in you now, here, on this earth, in your physicality, Christ is in you. But now here in chapter 3, he starts off, and in verse 3, he says, "Your life is hidden with Christ in God." So which is it, Paul? Is it Christ in me or me in Christ? Augustine, in his Confessions, his famous Confessions, he ponders the exact same question. He says, "For when I call on him, I ask him to come to me. And what place is there in me into which God can even come? How could God, the God who made both heaven and earth, come into me?" And then Augustine proceeds, "I would not exist. I would simply not be at all unless I exist in you, from whom and by whom and in whom all things are." "Even so, Lord, even so. Where do I call you to when I am already in you?" Well, such questions may make sense to Augustine and perhaps to us, because we are trapped in space and time. But I don't think those questions make any sense to God, because Christ is, as we are told here, all and in all. Christ knows no separation in his life, in his being, between heaven and earth, between things in time or outside of time, nor does he know any separation in your life. Christ is in you, and your life is hidden away in Christ mean the same thing when the constraints of time and space are stripped away, when you see it from God's perspective. Well, Jesus Christ came to give you life, and he came to give it to you abundantly. And this passage in Colossians 3, you know, it's a clear favorite of the authors of the Heidelberg Catechism. How many times does the Heidelberg Catechism, for those who you learned it really well, how many times does it refer to this passage? I didn't hear the answers, but it's 9 times. 9 separate times it's referred to. Because the Heidelberg Catechism is concerned with teaching us how to live. But it tells us something then about what this life in Christ really looks like. And it turns out that life in Christ looks an awful lot like a nice set of clothing. We'll get to that. But Christian, Christ is your life right now, today. And it's not because of anything you have done or anything I have done. It's because of who he is and what he has done and what he continues to do for us. So going on in this passage, Paul is going to give us 2 lists. One, how we should not act. And the second, how we should act. But these lists, these words are not what give us life. Rules do not give us life. Only Christ can give us life. Only Christ, to use his own words, who is the resurrection and the life. For in Christ, he says, we have died. We have been buried and we have been raised with the one who is the resurrection and the life. And so we live. The life we live is not our own, but we live in Christ. So often we only focus on the struggle in our humanity and between our humanity and our spiritual lofty ideals. Many times we may even feel like we're losing that battle, the struggle between the physical and the spiritual. So Paul lets us in on a beautiful secret. Our lives, these lives, are hidden with Christ in God. The place of our eternal self has already been made secure by the only one who can make them secure. Right now, today. And that is why we can say assuredly that Jesus Christ is our only comfort in life and in death. And there will be a time, of course, when Christ, who has presently hidden us away secretly, Christ will be revealed and we will be revealed with him in glory, in his own glorious revelation. But that isn't a time to come. The present is simply to know that Christ is our life. Our life is not defined by our success or by our failure, our riches or our poverty, our beauty or our warts or anything else. Christ is your life because Christ is life. Paul says back in verses 1 and 2 that this being the case, we should set our minds on the things that are above. To say that this is difficult in today's day and age would be a huge understatement. Since we in our modern age have lost the ability to see the Creator in a blade of grass or in a magnificent oak or in the ferocity of a storm or in the smile of a stranger, those would-be reminders of God pass us by. And now life so often comes to us as just a series of interruptions and distractions, doesn't it? I can personally attest to this. As I was writing that very section of this sermon, it was just constant interruptions and distractions for me. So I feel it all the time. But God, who never distracts us and who seldom interrupts us, God goes unnoticed in our lives, unless those distractions and interruptions become for us invitations to prayer. Invitations even to wordless prayer. If not, our minds are bound to be stuck here on earth. But going on in the passage, to reduce the rest of it to merely a list of rules for Christian conduct would, I think, miss Paul's point. Paul is inviting us to be who we are, to live into our true identity as people whose lives are hidden with Christ and God, to live that way. There are some things, Paul says, which are so foreign to that kind of life, a life that is hidden with Christ and God, that the only way of dealing with them is to consider them dead, to put them to death, in Paul's words. These include sexual sins, both of the mind and of the body, misplaced passions and desires, and greed, which is properly spelled out here as idolatry, because greed places stuff between us and God. Then he goes on identifying hostile attitudes towards one another, which produce anger and abusive ways of speaking with one another. These things all belong to the old, unredeemed way of life, way of being in these bodies. But these things have been stripped off, Paul says, like what they are, an ill-fitting suit of clothing. So Paul says, seeing that you have stripped off that ill-fitting suit of clothing, that is our old identity, how can such things still be a part of the way you live? To which we say, I'm sure, a hearty amen. Amen, they should be stripped off. That is, until we lose our tempers, or talk behind one another's back, or wrestle with our own greedy, selfish tendencies. We really do want to live with our minds set on God's holiness, but our humanness comes creeping back in. I was reminded as I prepared for this of C.S. Lewis's Prince Caspian. Remember Prince Caspian, one of the Chronicles of Narnia? The good Prince Caspian learns at the end of the book, to his despair, that his lineage comes from nasty pirates, a point Aslan the Lion is sure that to make the prince acknowledge. Caspian does acknowledge it, but then he says, and not with pride, I was wishing that I came from a more honorable lineage. At this point, Aslan replies, you come from the Lord Adam and the Lady Eve, and that is both honor enough to erect the head of the poorest beggar and shame enough to bow the shoulders of the greatest emperor on earth. Be content. Yes, be content with our human lineage, but continue to deliver these worldly ways to their rightful death and live into who we are in Christ. Because Paul goes on and he makes a truly beautiful statement. He says, our new self, the eternal one, who we really are, is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your creator. We were created in God's image, yet we need to be renewed as children of Adam and Eve. In my oral examination a few weeks ago, I was asked the question, what of the image of God was lost in the fall? In other words, we were created in the image of God. We still bear that image in our fleshly bodies, but the fall, too, has left its mark. So in what ways did the fall mar our divine image? And it's a good question, and it turns out that it's answered partially, at least, in the Heidelberg Confession as well, in question and answer 6. We're told there that God created us good in his image and true righteousness and holiness so that we might truly know God. This is a reference to Colossians 3, verse 10, which assures us that as we clothe ourselves with the new self, we are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. This knowledge was a part of our original nature, walking with God, but it was lost in the fall, and it is being renewed now by Christ, even as we live out this life. And as I had to learn as a young man, this does not mean learning facts about God. It means that I know and am known in deep divine relationship by my Creator and with my Creator. But Paul is not content to leave his application of this theology to some mystical description of our relationship to the Godhead. Paul makes it practical in verse 11, telling us that our social relationships likewise are being renewed. Social, economic, religious, cultural, and ethnic barriers are renewed because in Christ they are superseded. There is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. In that renewal of which you and I are a part, again, right now, in the here and now, Christ is all in all. If you think about it, that's exactly where we started 3 weeks ago Christ is all and in all. That is why it's so important how we regard one another, how we speak to one another, how we speak about one another, how we relate to one another, because we are the body of Christ, and it is all in Christ, for Christ, and about Christ. Well, that being the case, Paul goes on, starting in verse 12, with some things that we are to do. Having taken off the ill-fitting suit, we're to put on clothes that properly fit who we are. Recall again those stories of Narnia. Those children, when they went to Narnia, they were given proper clothing to wear, clothing befitting of Narnia. Why? Well, our clothes need to be stitched with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, because we are told here, God has chosen you, loved you, and sanctified you. That is who you are, God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And this should be all the reason and motivation that we need to live as we are instructed here. Not that everything in human relationships will go perfectly. It seldom does. And when it doesn't, we know what to do. We are told what to do. Forgive. Forgive, Paul simply says. He does not say if anyone has a complaint against one another, avoid them or write them a long letter or talk behind their back. No, it simply says if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive. And we have plenty of evidence that Paul had ample opportunity to put his own advice into practice, for a lot of people had wronged him. But Paul nets out this section then in verse 14 with a summary line, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. If you know me well, you know that my clothes are not always harmonious. Sometimes the colors clash or the stripes and the checks do battle. When you see me that way, you can know that my wife did not have an opportunity to weigh in on the way I was dressed that day, because my wife loves me and she wants me to look my best. So the clothes, when she helps me fit them on, they are harmonious. They fit properly. They go together. And that's how our love is supposed to be, in perfect harmony, like clothes that fit well, or like a song. But these are the clothes which speak to who we are. Do people notice this when they meet us? When they meet our church? When they meet us on the street? Do they see apparel that speaks of love? If we live this Christ-focused life, dressed for who we really are in Christ, Paul has promised some very tangible results. Results that we would all enjoy. The peace of Christ will rule in our hearts. The word of Christ, that gospel of grace, will enliven our conversations, even the difficult ones. God's songs will always be on our lips, not just here on Sunday mornings. And our thankfulness to God will be evident as we give Him the credit and the glory and seek to work in all things for Him and for Him alone. And I had a lot of time to deliberate on this passage this week, and I actually do find it very motivating to pursue a life lived in keeping with my life in Christ, the person God has made me to be. And I actually find it very enjoyable, although the battle is still very real in my life. Christ is your life, and Christ has hidden your life with Him. That is who you are. So be who you are. Lean into Christ. Live into Christ. And let Him be your all in all. And again, as I was working on this lesson and seeking that we go back to where we started, Christ being our all in all and living that way, I was reminded of St. Patrick, the one who became the patron saint of Ireland for some 17 centuries. And St. Patrick learned about life being a slave in Ireland. And then after he escaped, he went back to Ireland and became a missionary to that place. And he left to us something called the breastplate of St. Patrick, or the Lorica. And I'd like to just pray with you a part of that as we conclude this sermon today. Will you pray, please? I arise today, through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. I arise today through the strength of Christ's birth with his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion with his burial, through the strength of his resurrection with his ascension, through the strength of his descent for the judgment of doom. I arise today through the strength of heaven, the light of the sun, the radiance of the moon, the splendor of fire, the speed of lightning, the swiftness of wind, the depths of the sea, the stability of earth, the firmness of rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me from snares of devils, from temptation of vices, from everyone who shall wish me ill afar and anear. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. Amen.
Please stand, and together we're going to sing about our hope in Christ, who is the solid rock of our life.
So we say, as King David said, "You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me."
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Good morning. I get the privilege again to lead the congregation in our congregational prayer. So pray with me. Thank you for the splendor of creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We pray for the unity of church and that it may reflect the love you have shown us. We pray for the mission of the church, that we may be a people who show your transforming love and justice in all that we do. We ask your grace for Pastor Mark and for all who minister in word and action, that we may bear faithful witness to your good news. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We seek your peace and justice in our world, our country, our community, that those in need may never be forgotten. We ask your blessings on our homes, our friends and family, and on those who live alone. We think of John and June as they deal with the care of June's mother. May they know your constant presence. Heavenly Father, we lift up all those who are facing various illnesses. Give them the hope and courage they need today and every day. We think of Alice and Sybil and others we may name in our hearts. Comfort their pain, calm their fears, and surround them with your peace. We thank you for all the blessings of life, for your immeasurable love made known to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. We think of All Nations Fellowship and the good work of Pauline Ho in the Alexandria Park community. With joy, we offer our thanks and praise. We look for your purposes to be accomplished and ask you to fill us with the strength and vision to further your reign. We pray for the persecuted Christians in China. These courageous brothers and sisters are suffering for their faith. Pray these believers will stand strong amidst religious restrictions. Lastly, we pray for all of us at Fellowship Church and those joining us online. May we be bold in our witness and bold in our love of our neighbors. For those who feel unloved this day, may they hear your voice of love. For those who feel anxious or afraid this day, may they hear your voice of peace. For those who lead or govern, may they hear your voice of wisdom. Guide us in the path of discipleship, so that as you have blessed us, we may be a blessing for others, bringing the promise of the kingdom near by our words and deeds, following the example of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just to mention about our offering, we do take up two offerings at this church every week. The first is for the ongoing work of this church, and the second is for a special offering, and Jane has just prayed for Pauline Ho and her work at Alexandria Park in downtown Toronto in cooperation with All Nations Fellowship Church. So please give generously to these. I said we take up an offering. We don't actually take up an offering, but we appreciate those of you who are able to give electronically. It does help. If you are here and you'd like to leave an offering, there will be a plate in the foyer as you exit. So thank you for continuing those offerings. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And now may the peace and love of Christ be with you all. Amen.